This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we cannot hide from you, even if we were to go from one edge of creation to the next. You speak to us of compassion, but the way in which we treat others show we haven't been listening. You explain your hopes to us, and we act as if we don't have a clue. We run as fast and as far from you as we can and wonder why we have no energy to follow Jesus. Yet you search for us in all the deserted places we flee to. You take us by the hand to show us the way to life with you. So heal our broken hearts so that we can offer them to others. Fill us with your strength so that we can bind ourselves to Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Today I want to talk to you about splugnismi. And no, it's not a pasta dish for the Italian meal next weekend, but it is the Greek transliterated word that we studied in our small groups this week that is usually translated compassion, but it's a special kind of compassion. In their understanding in those times, they thought the center of our emotional responses were in our gut or in our bowels. And so splugnismi means to feel something, to suffer with from our utter gut. It is the ultimate expression of how deeply we might feel for someone. And of course, in our small group, it has to do with that story of the prodigal son and the compassion that the father has for that repentant son who's coming home. It is that compassion that we want to talk about today, but it is that compassion that leads to service in the way we live, but also how we need to balance that with solitude. We can compare this to the story of Martha and Mary, where one of them is feeling like they are needing to serve by working in the kitchen, the other one wants to sit at the feet of Jesus in solitude with him. And our lives are a mix of the two. And it becomes crucial for us as we continue on our journey to be able to have that deepest compassion that leads to service, but also to have that solitude time, because one leads to the other. Now, I want to talk today, to get us into this, about a couple of my heroes. And if we could put up that first slide, many of you will recognize these two people who have been called home to heaven. Now, you see Herb Collins and Pat Shanley. For years and years, those of you who might be relatively new to our church, these two did our coffee hour every week, every week. They were such servants. They saw what a difference it could make for our fellowship, and so Herb and Pat took that on and faithfully did it for years and years. And in his later years, you know that Herb was hooked in with his solitude as well, because many Sundays you would show up here early or stay after the 9:30, and he'd be back in that back pew, and he would be there to pray and to meet anyone who came by. But I want to talk especially about Pat. Pat was a former nun. Pat had been a missionary. She felt that compassion to help others along with her husband, Tommy. And for years as missionaries, they served, they fell in love. They end up coming here to St. Joseph's, and they used to sit in that very front pew at the 5 o'clock Saturday night service. And eventually, when the piano was over here for that service, Pat started offering her services to help out with the music and the prayers. And she continued to be the one who every Sunday would get up, sometimes before I did, and she would be in that kitchen grilling the bagels with butter so that they'd be ready for our coffee hour every week. She was a servant. And as the story goes, this really happened. In her later years, she got called to go to the hospital to be treated for something. And for some reason, they released her at 2 a.m. in the morning from the hospital, sending her home. She didn't go home. She drove straight to St. Joseph's to start grilling the bagels for coffee hour that morning. And Rev. Mary Naughton saw her, and the conversation went something like this. I thought you were in the hospital. Yeah, but they released me. Well, why didn't you go home? Well, Mary, you suck it up, sister, and get back to work. That was Pat. That was Pat. Two incredible saints of God. Now, when we want to talk about this mixture, that compassion that leads us into service, that leads us to solitude and understanding the mix, let's look at this gospel story today. If we go to the next slide, up in the top there, circled in orange, you see that town of Capernaum, which is where Jesus is today in this gospel story, on that northwestern shore. And this is, of course, the town where at one point he even lived. But those of you who went with us some years ago, 9 years ago now, believe it or not, to the Holy Land on our pilgrimage, if we go to the next slide, we get an idea. This is a town that's on that lake, and you can see the ruins that are there, and we're going to talk about some of those structures. Next slide. And here we have Ramon, who is our tour guide at the time, and we're looking at that synagogue, the ruins of it, where Jesus preached when we heard last week. Remember, Jesus preaches there, and then he goes and he heals the man with the unclean spirit. Next slide. Here we have another view of it, but I think this one, if we touch on it, it's going to be a little video. And it shows us that this is actually a 4th century ruins of a synagogue. But as the camera is going to turn, we are going to see where the ruins are of the actual synagogue where Jesus would have preached, the ruins that are there. And if you look just beyond those ruins, you will see a modern structure, which is the church that is built on top of the ruins of that house where Simon lived. We go to the next slide. Next slide. There we are. And we are looking down upon that particular structure. The next slide. There's Johnny Eastham taking a nice photo of everybody. Next slide. So they have built this incredible church on top of the ruins where this house was that we just heard about in the gospel story today. We go to the next slide. And there is the beautiful church that is there. Go to the next slide. And then Ramon, our tour guide, is pointing out some of these areas. They actually have found an inscription that says something about Peter and Jesus. That it is pretty well documented that this particular house, remember, Jesus lived in Capernaum for a while? Well, this was probably the place where he lived. Okay, next slide. And that's that. Now, why do I show us all of that? Well, for one, I don't think we would realize just by reading the text how close the synagogue was to Simon Peter's house. It's like 500 feet away. You go to the synagogue, hear Jesus preach, and you go to coffee hour over at Peter's house. It's right there. But to get in touch, this is all one day. One day. Jesus goes to the synagogue and preaches. He heals the man with the unclean spirit. He goes over to Simon Peter's house, and they tell him that the mother-in-law is sick. He goes, and he touches her and heals her. She starts waiting on them. And then all of these people start showing up at the house. And Jesus, as Mark tells us, starts healing all of these people. And the whole town is crowded around the entrance to the house. And finally, the day is done. And then what happens? Early the next morning, while it's still dark, after the day Jesus has just had, he gets up and goes to a deserted place to pray. Now, you talk about the perfect example of mixing service with solitude. Here we have it in the very first chapter of Mark. You know, Mark is trying to get all of this stuff out there. He's so excited. And he just says, and then this, and then this, and then this. In this short 10 verses from Mark's gospel, he uses the word and 7 different times. Because he's trying to get this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this. And then the next morning, he went out to pray. It's trying to get us in touch with this balance that we need to have in our lives, that we're called to service, but it is in that solitude we're going to get the strength we need to go back for more service. Otherwise, we just run ourselves into the ground. So this becomes this important image that Jesus gives to us. And we can also take from this whole notion of Jesus prioritizes and just leads his life according to the priorities. He breaks a bunch of rules. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. Well, he's already healed the guy in the synagogue. Now he heals Peter's mother-in-law. That's something, isn't it? Peter's mother-in-law. And again, Mark tells us, and she gets up and starts to wait on him immediately. There's something there about this mix. She experiences Jesus. Now she's moved to service. So there is this urgency, these priorities. And Jesus breaks the rules by touching a woman, for one. So there's another rule he's breaking. So there's all sorts of things that Jesus is teaching us about priorities in life. You know, we just heard a couple weeks ago, Peter, Andrew, James, and John leaving everything to follow Jesus. And we start thinking, well, they had to go there and go here and go here. Where are they when they're with Jesus today? They're at home. They're at their home. It's as if Mark wants us to get it, that this call to prioritize doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have to go to the far reaches of the earth. Most of those disciples become apostles, end up doing that, but they start serving and following right there in their hometown. Another example of this urgency and priority came out of our small group. A couple weeks ago, I love it when people ask questions when I'm able to be at the small group, because a lot of times it'll be stump the priest. They'll ask a question and I have no idea what the answer is. I can't remember it or I never learned it, so I'm going to go and I'm going to research it and find out, to remember at least, or to learn. And so a couple weeks ago, Dr. Wynn Rayner's in the small group, and there is some reference to the word Catholic, as in Catholic Church. And Wynn says, Father, when did that term come to be? When did they start calling it Catholic? Well, I thought at first, well, maybe it was this whole thing between the Celts and the Church of Rome, and maybe that's where the term came from. Little research told me, no, it came a lot earlier than that. There was a guy by the name of Ignatius of Antioch. He's regarded as a saint. And Ignatius was condemned to death because it was a time when it was illegal to be a Christian, and he's out there spreading the good news. So he's condemned to death, but for some reason, they're not going to execute him in Antioch. They're going to take him all the way to Rome It's 1,000 miles away. Now, in those days, the easiest way to travel was by ship. So he's in Antioch, and they assign 10 soldiers, and these 10 soldiers are going to take him all the way along the perimeter of the Mediterranean, and then they're going to end up in Rome. And along the way, they believe that they were picking up more people who were condemned to death. And so along the way, Antioch, prioritizing what he knows his mission is in life, that appears to be short-lived at this point. So he's in shackles, and every place they stop, he gets off and he starts preaching to the people, and these crowds come. He also starts dictating these letters, which is how we know about his life a lot. And one of those letters, he writes to the people of Smyrna, and in that particular letter, that is where he uses that word Catholic. That is the earliest evidence of referring to a sect of Christians as such. But the amazing thing about Ignatius through this story is he knew he was going to die. They threw him to the animals in the Colosseum eventually. But even knowing that this was coming, he prioritizes what he knows his message is to give to people, and continues to bring more people to understand the love that God has for us. Prioritizing. We need the solitude. We need the service as well. And it's going to be different for each one of us. When we look at these readings that the church gives us today, Paul got that. He says, man, I was doing whatever it takes. I had to be something for the Jewish people. I had to be something for the Gentile people. I did whatever it took, as long as I could prioritize that this was going to help them to come to see who Jesus was in their life. Isaiah, the reading that we just heard, Isaiah 40, it begins that second book of Isaiah. Isaiah is really three different books, and this is the beginning of the second book. And it really calls us to understand that how do we get access to this hope, this compassion that's going to lead us to service? Well, it's through a life of prayer. Isaiah 40 is talking about God is just so incredibly powerful, and we are so weak as human beings, finite as we are. And yet here is a God, as he says, who calls us all by name. It's there in that relationship as we continue to grow in our life of prayer that we can look at that last verse that we read today. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my life. So we continue to develop that life of prayer that leads us to service and compassion in helping others, and the one feeds the other. Let's let God do that for us. Amen.